This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Philip C. Now in half an hour, we have The Breakfast Grill. And today on the show, I'll be speaking to Charles Brewer, the CEO of Post Malaysia. Postal service organizations around the world are facing enormous pressures to reinvent or diversify their business as traditional mail declines. So how is Post Malaysia addressing these challenges? We spoke to Charles 1 year ago when he first came on board. So we're going to catch up with him to see what he's done over the past year in order to set Post Malaysia onto this transformation journey.
Well, surely they are the beneficiary of e-commerce, isn't it?
You would think so, yeah. You would definitely you would think so. Yes. So we'll see if e-commerce has been a boon to their bottom line. Now, the competition for talent and expertise is especially rife in the post-pandemic era as countries try to rebuild their economies. Singapore is sweetening the deal by issuing a new 5-year work pass to attract the world's best talent.
The Overseas Networks and Expertise One Pass starts from next year and it's meant to strengthen the country's position as a global hub. It will let talents work across all sectors or own and operate in multiple firms at any one time. Spouses will also be allowed entry to find jobs. Now, there are financial conditions to fulfill, though. Applicants must earn a fixed monthly salary of minimum 30,000 Singaporean dollars, but this salary limit won't apply to those with outstanding achievements in areas like arts, culture, or sports, like both of us.
I guess they recognize that these areas don't really command those high salaries, but that won't stop us from coming in if we want to.
Yes, it won't.
We'll file our applications next year.
ASAP.
How effective will this move be to attract key global talents to the island city? And how might this impact the economic trajectory of Singapore? For more on this, we have on the line with us Walter Tessera, Associate Professor of Economics at the Singapore University of Social Sciences. Walter, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. At present, how hard is it for high-income earners from overseas to find work in Singapore? Are there strict barriers to entry in terms of labour?
Hey, good morning. Well, actually, you know, Singapore has been open to foreign professionals for many years. You know, today, high-skilled foreigners basically come in on what we call an employment pass, and that is open without quota limits. The main test is economic. You have to command a high salary, but anybody who's going to qualify for this one pass will also qualify for an employment pass. So, in a sense, the one pass doesn't add anything new, because foreign high-earning professionals can already come in. But what we hope is that OnePass has a couple of additional benefits and that may get some top foreign talent to consider Singapore a bit more closely.
So what are those additional benefits that make the OnePass very distinctive then?
So the main difference is that the OnePass will offer this 5-year guarantee of residency in Singapore, where the pass holder will have this flexibility to change jobs, to work in, or to start up multiple companies. And actually, what's key is they can actually stay here in Singapore, even if they don't have a job during some time during that period. And under the standard employment pass, you're actually tied to one company. If you lose the job under the standard employment pass, then you have to leave Singapore and you cannot work outside that job. So actually, the one pass is a bit like giving the benefits of permanent residency to people for a limited period. You can stay here in Singapore during that 5-year period. And the idea is the kind of people who want and get the one pass are going to be people who want to try out new business opportunities, new ideas. You know, these are often going to be risky or they have unconventional work arrangements. You know, for example, suppose you want to split your time between a company in Singapore and another company overseas. So for these kinds of people, a traditional employment pass will tie you to one employer and that may not work out for these people.
Walter, do you think that this is a policy response to perhaps attract the foreigners that are leaving other financial hubs, those who are perhaps leaving Hong Kong and looking for other bases in the region? Is that what the Singapore government is aiming for?
You know, I think that's certainly part of it. I think what we always do is we look at our competitiveness versus other regional and global business hubs. We try to understand whether what we're offering is actually attractive and, you know, we try to refresh what we're offering to make sure that we are competitive. But at the same time, I would say it's not about, you know, poaching people from other hubs. It's just really about trying to make sure that Singapore is a competitive business destination. Because the reality is global talent, they've got a lot of places, you know, to choose from, a lot of cities. And, you know, Singapore wants to be as competitive as it can be.
And when you talk about this one pass and its unique features, it's basically bound to the individual. What kind of sectors benefit from this? Is this more the entrepreneurial, the kind of startup kind of culture that Singapore is trying to encourage?
Yeah, I agree very much with that. I think, I think obviously one of the criteria to get the one pass will be income-based. So to earn $30,000 a year, you would have to have worked for a very established company, generally speaking. But we are also very interested in the entrepreneurial sector. And that is why we also have this track, I think, for achievement in arts, sports, sciences, academia. So, I think that startups, high-tech sectors, the services sector, these are the areas which we hope, I think, the one plus applicant will be able to contribute to. So I think, that's really the idea here, because if you are working in a traditional field, then our regular employment pass channels will actually be probably sufficient for you already.
I'm wondering, Walter, how does this play into the debate on jobs and employment, which is a really hot topic at the moment, yeah? I mean, countries all over are looking to create jobs for their own citizens. So wouldn't it be better for Singapore to build up its own expertise in the fields and really focus on growing domestic talents rather than trying to attract those from abroad?
No, I think that's a great question. But I think the fact is that in almost any field, there are already Singaporeans among the top in Singapore. Just like in Malaysia, you're also going to find talented Malaysians everywhere at the top. But the problem is we actually do not have enough of them. We're actually a small country. Malaysia is also quite a small country as well, relatively speaking. So, both of us, we have to tap on top talent from around the world. And as for building up talent, that actually takes time. That's the difficulty. And the secret to success of a lot of global cities is actually this openness to talent that comes from outside. If you go to Silicon Valley, you're not going to find that a lot of the top talent actually grew up in the area there. They came from all over. They came from overseas. They came from other places in the United States. So I think the question is, if we have a policy like this, just like Malaysia's policy to attract top talent as well, I think the end question is, does that help your country compete? And does it help your country ultimately improve job opportunities for locals? I think that will be how we have to judge the policy in the end.
And on a bigger picture standpoint, let's just talk about the broader economy. Which areas does Singapore want to compete with, right? What economic sectors are vital for Singapore to compete in? Or is it just going to let talent come in and then they can basically chart their own future?
So I think the way this policy works is that part of it is going to be a bit directed, to be sure. So we definitely have, I think, ambitions of scaling up our competitiveness in entrepreneurship sectors and startup sectors. I think one of the areas we're trying to move into, for example, is advanced manufacturing. We're trying to upgrade our capabilities there. So I think part of this is that our economic agencies are going to be using this one pass to have conversations with some targeted individuals, companies, and so on, and say to them, we're offering this new opportunity. Do you want to take it up? Do you want to bring your company or do you want to come to Singapore? So that's part of it. But I think the other part of it is also going to be directed by industry. I think entrepreneurs and companies who think that this will benefit them, they're welcome to come to us and say, we want to apply for this. Can we get it? So I think it will be both ways. Part of it is we're looking for people, and the other part is we hope that people will come to us with their ideas.
And while we have you on the line, Walter, let's also touch on Singapore-Malaysia relations, because Deputy Prime Minister Lawrence Wong is currently in the country for a 4-day working visit. I mean, what do you make of the current bilateral relationship, and how do you see the Deputy Prime Minister, impacting the dynamics of the relationship when he accedes to prime ministership at some point?
Well, as you know, there were several candidates for the top job in Singapore among the ruling party. But actually, the way that Singapore politics works with respect to Malaysia is that I think everybody who's a credible candidate for leadership here agrees Malaysia is one of our most important partners. So all our leaders want to maintain good and stable relations with Malaysia, and we really hope and trust that Malaysia feels the same way. I think the way I think about it is, Singapore and Malaysia, we are both actually fairly small economies in the grand scheme of things. And what we really want to do, I think, is make use of our historic ties and networks. We're actually going to be better off cooperating and helping each other in what is a very competitive and complex world. And I hope that Malaysians and Singaporeans can actually agree on that we have much more to gain working together, than working against each other in this very tough world.
Walter, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Walter Tessera, Associate Professor of Economics at the Singapore University of Social Sciences, giving us some insights into the One Pass that will be introduced in Singapore next year to attract top talent. A lot of interesting rationales being put forth there.
Yeah, but I think it's really targeted at this really high net worth professionals who, you know, are changing jobs quite often. So they want that security and flexibility when they come to Singapore to plant their roots here and move around the ecosystem, which you currently don't have because it's usually tied to the employer at the moment. I think that's one of the unique features about this One Pass.
I can definitely see the appeal in flexibility.
Yeah.
And I guess as all countries are competing for top talent, this is Singapore's push to attract them to their shores. 7:47 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. And then after that, we're going to be discussing what should Malaysia's climate change bill look like in order to be effective. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.